Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Gee, thank you all for coming. This is really, really sweet. My name is Brian Bendis. I write for Marvel Comics. I know, but if I don't introduce, I'm a jerk for not introducing, so I'm doing the social thing you do. Hi, thank you for coming out today. I don't do a lot of conventions, so it's very, very nice to see you guys. It really is. I have so much to show you. I have tons of stuff from Marvel that Marvel was going to show yesterday, but somehow we forgot to, so I have it all. So that's great. So I have stuff on every Marvel book that I'm working on that no one has seen, including Civil War II. And we'll talk about all that. After I do my little show and tell, we will do Q&A, freeform, anything that's on your mind, any shipping thing you guys want to talk about, anything. All those things that you ask me on Tumblr anonymously, you can ask me to my face, see how it goes, and whatnot. But first, I want to start up. I have some cool stuff to show you. Powers is a show that we do on PlayStation Nation, thank you. And we have been greenlit for season 2, which will debut, we just announced yesterday, will debut May 31st. It's free for all people with PlayStation Plus accounts. Thank you for watching. We got a second season. It's insane. So what I have for you right now is, first we're going to show you the trailer. What the trailer will show you is a show that is completely transformed from season 1 to season 2. Some of my favorite shows, like in the history of television, did this, where they had a lot of cool stuff in the first season, but it was the second season when all of a sudden, like, Jerry Seinfeld refrigerator got cooler, and the West Wing looked more like the West Wing, and Star Trek Next Generation looked like a lot more people in it, and I really kind of love shows like that, that like really find their stride. So we went into season 2, we hired Joss Whedon's costume designer, the guy who lit Banshee and Torchwood is our cinematographer, our stunt coordinator is Harrison Ford's stunt double on Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and if you ask him, he'll tell you every 5 minutes. And like literally, it's like you go see Star Wars with him. That's me. Anyway, so but we on top of that, we added to our cast really like this Ocean's 11 of awesome genre actors. Trisha Helfer has joined the cast. Michael Madsen has joined the cast. Will Wheaton has joined the cast, and so many others, so wonderful. So I'm gonna show you right now our brand new trailer that just debuted yesterday, and then afterwards I'm gonna show you a special scene that no one has seen, because Comic-Con, you show up with stuff. So we'll show you that, and we'll get into the Marvel stuff. So let's see if I can make this work. This is very exciting. This is not my, there we go. All right, please, are you ready, sound people? Yeah, you feel good about this? God, it's the best. It is so cool. And the other good part is nobody noticed. Like, nobody looked out their window and went, all right, it's another car blow up. But it was super cool because you get like one shot to like really blow it up, and everybody knew what they were doing. So anyway, so here's the poster. Can you see it? I don't know. Yeah. Here's the poster, May 31st. We're very excited. I know there's a lot of superhero shows, but just like the comic book, Powers is this other thing, this different thing. It's actually a police show with superheroes in it, and we're going places other shows can't go, and that's kind of cool. My episodes in particular, a little naughty, a little on the naughty side. It's a lot, I learned this lesson that it's a lot easier to write, you know, creepy stuff when it's just you and your best buddy writing and drawing creepy stuff, but when it involves hundreds of people with props and stuff, it's embarrassing. So, but you know, just a little lesson they don't teach you in the how to produce a show books. Anyway, so let's get on to Marvel To Marvel Comics, there you go. That's my screensaver. That's a real thing, by the way. Yeah, that's Stan Lee pretending to play the drums while Ringo Starr pretends to read two of my books, one of which may be upside down. So, but that's the closest as I'm getting anything like that, so I'm taking it. So, there you go. So, Civil War II. Let's get into it. Let's look at some David Marquez art from Civil War II. This is, David Marquez and Justin Ponsner and I have been working together on Ultimate Spider-Man for a couple years, and now on Iron Man, and when we were cooking Civil War II, we were talking, who would draw it? And I thought back to when Steve McNiven was hired for Civil War I. It was because he was killing it on the books he was doing, including on New Avengers with me. It was next level stuff, and it just became clear he's the guy. And even though we wanted to do a longer run on Iron Man, it was him. So. I said let's get David to do it, and we're neighbors now, and he did it. So I'm going to show you some other stuff. Hold on, I got all kinds of goodies. All right, here's another awesome page, just to show you we're not effing around, as they say in the business. Yeah, I'll just let that bask in. There may be like little stuff in the background of some of the stuff I'm showing you that could launch 100 tumblers. All right. So, but before that issue comes out, we have a free comic book day, Civil War II, a free comic day, brand new story created just for free comic day. It's me and Jimmy Chung. Jimmy Chung is here. Try to buy that artwork today before it goes up in price when the book comes out. We haven't worked together in a few years. I was dying to work with him again. We've done some amazing work together. That is free. So if you don't like it, I don't care. It is absolutely free. That's the only page I could show you that wasn't a spoiler, because something actually, a couple of really big things happened in that book. It's actually more than just, it's actually the inciting incident for the series. So I'm excited to see that. But then coming like a week and a half later, I think it is, comes Civil War II, Issue 0 by myself and Olivier Copiel. Nobody has seen this outside of Tom's office. Oh, I can blow. Oh, I can make it bigger. Ooh, you can see things. Anyway, Copiel and I did House of M together and a few other things that I'm very proud of. And it was exciting to get to work with him again. So, oh, here comes some more Civil War number one. Oh, look, it's the Avengers. Yay. I love them too. And here comes, let's see what I got here. Some more Civil War II. This is what the artwork looks in black and white for you process junkies. All right. And then here comes something that nobody has seen. This would be the cover to Civil War II, number 3. Don't ask me any questions. All right. What? That's what they're fighting over in Civil War. There's the legs, people. All right, I've let that sink in, I think. There you go. All right, let me see what else I got before I close up the Civil War. He's another page. No, I showed that page. Never mind. How about, I got two of those, that's why. All right, so that's Civil War. Let's talk Spider-Man. So this is a fun thing. I actually posted this online for like a minute to see if anybody catch the hint about who is joining Miles' school. This is from next issue, where Genki and Miles are having another romance spat. But there is someone joining the school, and he might be on one of those panels in the background, but I'm gonna close it just before you figure it out. Oh, this hit it. So this is Sarah Pacelli. Sorry, here's another page no one has seen. This is Sarah Bocelli kicking serious butt, also a hint of what's coming Miles' way. I think some of you already know Black Cat's coming, but what Black Cat's mission statement is going forward is different than what we've seen, and who she's partnering up with and who she's hiring out and why she's gunning for Miles is all stuff you'll see very, very soon. All right. Let's do some, is that all my, I have more Miles. This is a good one. Boop, first appearance in Ms. Marvel. All right, I think Sarah draws an amazing Kamala. So while you guys were hitting me hard on the shipping, and by the way, this right here, see this person? See that? That's Bombshell. I get a lot of questions about her being in the book. She's in the book. While you guys were yelling at me about shipping Miles and Kamala on Tumblr, I had already decided to put her in the book because Sarah draws such amazing Kamala. And I do think they'd be friends. Or something else. I don't know. It's hard to say. So this is the cover much. So this is the cover to number 5. We're just enjoying art. I love enjoying art. This is what I do all day. This is when people are, why do you write so much? This is why. Because when you write, then stuff comes in and it's all awesome. Oh, you know what? Here's another free comic book day page by Jimmy Chung. What? Who? Where? Huh? Why? All right. All right, I think we go for there. Let's do some Guardians of the Galaxy. Are you guys enjoying this? You want more? Yeah. This is all unseen stuff. So this would be next issue, which will debut a new love interest for Ben Grimm. Oh my God, new love interest. Yes, new love interest. Also, it's the debut of what we believe is going to be the next Deadpool, which is a mushroom head kid. He just started showing up on the pages, so he started getting lines. It's maybe the greatest creation in all of pop culture. It's really, you can, you're even just looking at him, you go, oh, that's Game of Thrones right there. That's gonna be huge. So, but yeah, so this is the work of Valerio Schitti, and that really is his last name. And this one, you can imagine what high school is like, leave him alone. All right. Here's another page from it. So every issue for the next couple of, for the next few issues, we have the team splitting up into team-ups. They're all on the same mission, and they're all handling the mission from a different angle. The issue that just came out was Kitty and Star-Lord. This issue is the Thing and Rocket. Next issue is Venom and Groot, and so on. And they're all handling the same mission, and they're going after the Badoon Empire hardcore. And at the inside this storyline will be the return of a beloved and Guardians character that will be back on the team. I will leave it up to you to figure out who, what, where. Oh, here's a good one. Look at this. This is from the next issue. Yeah. This is, yeah, I love showing black and white art sometimes. I work with the best colorists in the world. But sometimes you really get to appreciate how much love and care and just craftsmanship goes into some of these pages. And this is what Valera hands in every day. Every day. Every artist I'm working with right now is like super on time and super speedy. It's really exciting. You wake up every morning and there's new artwork from everybody. All right, let's go to, I think that was that it. Looking. Oh yeah, let's go to Iron Man. All right, so here is some artwork coming up from upcoming issues of Invincible Iron Man by Mike Diodato Juga. Right, we have some new villains, but a lot of this is dovetailing right into what happens in Civil War II. You see Spider-Man there. I don't see MJ. Everyone just wants MJ now. Let's see, do I have MJ? Oh, there's MJ. There's MJ and Friday seemingly not getting along. I wonder what that's about. But look at just, you see this artwork in the panel design. It's just scrumptious, just gorgeous. And this is colored by Frank Martin. All right. See what else I got in the goodie bag here. Oh, yeah, I do. I got good stuff here. Here's some more if you want to see some black and white Mike Diodato. This is actually from 2 issues from now. You see a lot of roadie doing some cool stuff. But, you know, just honestly, when you see what people ask about what it's like to do this for a living, you wake up and like 4 artists have handed in something this great. You know, you try to write for them and give them something you think they'd really like to draw, and the only way you really know if they really like to draw it is when they draw it that well, you know? It's very cool. Here's one more. I just wanted to show off how much work Mike does. I mean, that is a page. That is something. There's no cheating, there's no skimping. This is just good artwork. And I just love working with the guy. And it's so fast, it feels like you're being chased. Like, I hand in like the whole thing and then I wake up in the morning. Him and Bagley, if I'm working with him and Bagley at the same time, oh my God in heaven. Oh, and here's some upcoming artwork from International Iron Man. This is actually by Alex Leleve and Paul Mounce. And what I like about it is you cannot tell that's by Alex. That's just cool. Make sure I got everybody. Oh, and then some of you, Scarlet fans. Yes, smattering, a full-on smattering, I'll take it. But it's okay, because we've been late, and I understand. Well, I'm gonna show you, this is a page from, for those who don't know, this is a creator-owned book that me and Alex do, in the same vein as our Daredevil run. It's a brand new character, and this is a page not from issue 8 that hasn't shipped yet, issue 9 that hasn't shipped yet. This is a page from issue 10 that is completely painted and done, all right? And because we've been late and it's very hard to produce this book for us, but because we've been late, I did this. You'll I think, appreciate this. This is all of issue 10. I proof that we have finished book 2. I told Alex we can't even start Iron Man until we finish Scarlet. We can't do it. People will, you know, be really angry at us, and we got it done. So starting the next few weeks, 3 new issues of Scarlet shipping. So we're very, very happy with that. But just because I love all these pages, here's a couple more. Just some really cool Alex artwork. Just very, very, and this is full art by Alex. This is fully painted by Alex. He does all the artwork. And there's pieces that are, whatchamacallit? Just different styles, things you haven't seen him do before. And for those of you who haven't read Scarlet, it's about a woman who is the victim of very high-end police corruption. And instead of letting it ruin her life, she stands up to it, and she does it in a very public forum. And by being so public and so ferocious in the way she's handling what she thinks is injustice, that a revolution rises up around her on the streets of Portland. And if there was an American revolution that happened today, it would happen. It would start in Portland, I promise you. Don't let Portlandia fool you. So it's a book we're very proud of. It was a book that I thought, what would we imagine the world would be like in 10 years? And of course, most of the things that we've written about have already started to happen. So that's great. But it's a book we care a lot about, and it takes a lot out of us to produce, but it is coming. So, there's that. Now, I do have one more thing I wanted to talk to you about, and it's this. I will be writing the new Indiana Jones comic with Adam Hughes. None of that is true. I just really want to put it out there. I'm not here on April Fool's, and I feel I'm up here on a stage, I got a thing. And I just want you to know how badly I want to write the Indiana Jones comic, and if there ever was one, this is what it would be like. So I'm sorry. That was it. You guys liked the idea of me doing that more than I thought you would. So the joke got crazy mean, and I apologize. So there is no Indiana Jones comic. I'm hoping we're creating an ambiance where they go, yeah, why isn't there one? There should be one. There should be one. There should be a Willie Scott comic and a Short Round comic and an Allison Doody comic. So, yeah, there's a woman named Allison Doody. She started on the third movie. Look it up. Yeah, she never worked again because the last name was Doody. And the Academy Award goes to Doody. So anyway, I would do one of those. I apologize. I feel like I left you all down. Anyway, any questions about the fictitious Indiana Jones comic that doesn't exist? I'm going to say it four times because I feel I've already ruined a headline on two comic book websites. That's pretty fun. It was either that or my rebirth Sugar and Spike adult comic that me and Jason Schicka were going to do, but I thought Indiana Jones was funnier. I was wrong. All right. So let's roll up. That's all I got to show. I'm very excited for you to see all that. Oh wait, we got one more. Here's a yeah. All right. So anyway, it's just, you know, it's cool. I like to share this stuff with you guys because this is what my life is like. I wake up in the morning, go in the basement, and this shows up. It's cool. All right. Let's do questions, and I will talk about anything. Anything you want. Is there like a microphone right there? All right, run up to the microphone. But that lady right there is waving. And I may have something to give away for someone who's got another good question. Yes, hi.
Hi, big fan of your work, but I'm curious, how do you respond to the people that say that some of the stories you write are too wordy, too many word balloons?
You know, it's funny, I do.
Don't boo me, I'm just asking the question.
No, I also get the same people say, it takes too long, it's too quick. There's not enough words. So yeah, I literally learned early on, you cannot make everybody happy, it's impossible. There's no way in the world, no one in the history of music, movies, or television, or comics has made everybody happy, all right? You Google the Beatles, and they give you like things, it's the third one is overrated. Okay, that's the world we live in. You go, I went to, some announcement about Martin Scorsese's next movie, and the third comment underneath was, "Oh fuck him! What do you do?" So you try to take everything in stride, and I do take critique, and I think about it. And what you've learned is, good critique is already something you thought of. In your head, like deep down, you go, "Okay, that scene was too wordy," or "That scene, you did." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. True critique does, you know it already when you hear it, and other stuff it's like, you know what, I just gotta make comics the way I would want them made and buy a book that I would buy. And I do that. I work with people, like I would totally buy that Mike Deodato Iron Man comic no matter who was writing it, you know?
Yeah.
And this, I would buy this comic totally. And beyond that, nothing else I could do other than to be myself. And my favorite people in the whole world, no matter what they do for a living, that's what they do. So that's, I follow that.
All right,
that
fair enough, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's wrong with my writing?
Nothing. I'm just wondering, are you and Mark gonna work on more Brilliant anytime?
Oh yes, absolutely we are. Brilliant, there's actually some really good news happening where I'm Brilliant. I'm not going to announce anything because it's not announceable yet. I think particularly in this convention, I think you guys can take a break from half announcements that aren't full announcements yet. So, but something very good happened behind the scenes with Brilliant, and me and Mark were talking even this week, and we're going to get right back into it.
So awesome, looking forward to it.
And I do apologize, and the one critique, if I may, that I take very seriously that embarrasses me is that I have this like embarrassment of projects and good things and collaborations, and then a TV show gets greenlit and that takes up a lot of time, and sometimes I mismanage, and I would love to have all this stuff done, and for every one like Brilliant that I want to do more of, there's like four Fred Orme books on the batter up deck or whatever you call it, you know, ready to go, and I want to do all of them, but I want to do them right and want to do them properly. So, okay. Thanks. But it was cool, I gotta tell you, Mark Bagley is someone who never did a creator own book before. And to have, share that experience with someone who I had such a great work for hire relationship with was really great. I just alone giving him that experience of you own this was really special. It was a really cool thing.
Love it.
Thanks.
All right. Who's next? Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed Torso, and I was wondering if you would do any more historical fiction.
Yeah, I would, absolutely. You know, and The United States of Murder, Inc., which is another book that is returning in the fall, that's actually right next up, is was started as a historical fiction because I was obsessed with Murder Incorporated, and then I also got obsessed with how many times certain stories have been told and didn't have anything new to say about them, you know? And that evolved Murder, Inc. into a crime story that was more like an alternative world than true crime, but it started as a true crime. So yes, what was cool about the Torso graphic novel that you're referring to was that it's this little pocket of history starring like famous people that a lot of people forgot. Like people didn't really, some people here don't know what we're talking about, but there was a murder in Cleveland called, a serial killer called the Torso Killer, and he was one of, if not the first American serial killer, and of all people, Elliot Ness had moved to Cleveland and was faced with the work of the first serial killer. The term serial killer didn't even exist, like there was no pathology or psychology behind it, and so digging into this like took like 2 years of my life, and it was just great experience, but I would definitely need it to be like a pocket of history that hasn't been, like is not as known, and as soon as I find anything like that, I'll dig in. But it was so satisfying. Marcus Draco's here too, who I did it with. It was a very good experience. So yes, but it's gotta be the right story.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Good question.
Oh, Brian.
Hi.
First thing is, it scares the shit out of me asking this question in front of a bunch of strangers. That I, you know, it might be a dumbass question. My thing is, I've been reading Marvel comics for over 50 years, particularly the Avengers. And I know you don't have anything to do with this, but you know you're the guys who do the producing of the animated show, The Avengers Assemble.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know when the damn show is going to come on. Sometimes it comes on Sunday mornings, which is a weird time to have it anyway. And with Disney and Marvel, with all the talent you guys have, I cannot figure out how that show. It seems like the same plot lines all the time, doppelgangers, the Avengers, things like that. And I've got over 400 Avengers stories out there, if not more, with all the other ones. Jesus Christ, you guys aren't plagiarizing your own work.
Well, it's not plagiarizing, as more as it's an homage. But truthfully, I actually...
Semantics.
To be fair, I don't work on that show.
I know you
I don't even know who runs that show. Like, it's not in my wheelhouse. And I certainly am not in control of how Disney XD schedules. That is, you know, but, you know, I only use on demand almost for everything. So I don't even look to see when stuff is on, really. But... Steve Wacker is, and he's going to kill me for this, but Steve Wacker is on Tumblr and on Twitter, and he does run Marvel Animation, and they'll answer anything you ask them for. But, and here's the thing, too. Here's what I learned on Ultimate Spider-Man is, on the cartoon Ultimate Spider-Man is, we were producing it for kids, like almost like a gateway into the great world of Marvel Comics, like this, you know, like, come on in and look at all the cool stuff, right? And you see the difference between a child's reaction to that cartoon and an adult's reaction. It's for them, you know what I mean? And it's for them to then want to go to the movies and want to get toys and want to read comics. And they, you know, they pick the stories they think are going to most excite or inspire kids and make the best show. I mean, some stories just wouldn't make a very good show. It's like, you know, even when we're in Ultimate Spider-Man, there was like some stuff I'm really known for, and I was like, "Ooh, maybe I'll do that as a show." And I'm like, "You know what? It probably wouldn't be that good of a show for the same reasons it was a good comic story." So a lot goes into it. I'll tell you one thing: everyone I know behind the scenes, they care. They care with their whole body. So you never have to worry about, you know, being in the wrong hands. You should see what goes on behind the scenes. It's just loving, caring people who love these characters more than you can ever imagine. Okay. All right, but Steve Wacker, he's the guy to ask. He knows his stuff. Seriously,
I'll remember that.
All right. Cool. Thanks, man. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Big fan. Thanks. So you already answered the first question I actually had, which is when are we going to get more Scarlet? I'm glad that's coming.
Woo! You get more what?
More Scarlet.
Yeah, more Scarlet. I wanted to come here, and that was another thing, too. If I'm making a public appearance, I better have Scarlet on me.
Yeah. And then regarding the question about, or comment about working to Wordy, if you announced a book that was just Luke Cage and Danny Rand speaking at a cafe, 15 issues, I'd read it. I'd be excited.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
If there was just a book that was just Luke Cage and Danny Rand at a cafe, just talking, I'd read it.
I would too. Well, first of all, both those characters are in great hands right now with David Walker,
yes,
who I actually teach with at Portland State, and he's just killing it. So don't you worry about that.
Yeah,
you've got a lot of cool stuff happening with these characters.
So my real question is, International Iron Man, it's only been an issue, but it seems to get the same vibes to work on Daredevil. Maybe it's because you're working with Alex, but I'm just wondering if you're planning on working with Alex for a long time and have something similar to do with Daredevil.
Yeah, no, thank you. And our plan was to really dig into Tony Stark the way we dug into Matt Murdock. What we're going to find when we dig in is very different. What was gifted to me when I joined on to Iron Man is this great plot that Kieran Gillen put out there, which is that Iron Man is an adopted child, which he did not know. So the quest to find his biological parents and who he really is the catalyst for International Iron Man, and it's opening all kinds of doors and all kinds of wounds and stuff. And for me, who is the father of two adopted children, it allows me to work out all that stuff without like doing psychic damage to my kids by writing an autobiographical story about them. They don't need that. They don't need that. But I get to do it here in a very interesting way. It is someone you know in the Marvel Universe who is his parents, and that'll be very exciting to reveal. But the real reveal is who Tony Stark really is, and that's what we did with who is Matt Murdock really. All right, and for Matt Murdock, we took away Daredevil, who are you? And for Tony Stark, it's the quest to find who you are. So and that's why there's two books. That's always, why are there two Iron Man books? Because there's so much story for this character that it fills two books. So yeah, and you know what? And I work with Alex. Alex brings out some of the best in me. He's not the only one that brings out the best in me, but it challenges me to write better, to write for him, and it just gets more mature and more, you know, sophisticated, because I know that he can do it, and he honestly gets bored if he doesn't get to do it. So, thanks.
Thank you.
And here's some Art Adams. Let me switch over. Here's some Art Adams, Guardians of the Galaxy, that I forgot to show. It's cool, right? I got one more. And by the way, of the many, many awesome things that have happened in my life because of you guys, the fact that I get to like have Art Adams and Bill Sienkiewicz and Walt Simonson do stuff is
super cool.
All right, next question.
I got a question about kind of mega events, especially with Civil War II coming up. Some people really like how there's different characters, comics that tie into it. Some people really don't like that. I wanted to know what your thoughts in general are on that topic and why.
My thoughts are the follows, and this is just coming from what would I want as a reader. What I would want as a reader is I would want to be able to read this event where I know some cool stuff's gonna happen, right? Because we've proven that stuff happens, and stuff happens after the event that lasts a long time, right? And so the tie-ins should be like, I want to know how my favorite character is gonna deal with this. What I would like to do though is I would like it to be a story that I get to decide whether or not I need to read anything else. Like that's what I don't like. I like when you go, I'm gonna read this tie-in, and I did this when I was doing the tie-in for Civil War and New Avengers. All you need to know is Luke Cage is in trouble, and here's why. And if you want to then go read Civil War, great. If not, you won't be lost. You should be punished for, you know, you should, it should be our job to make you want to buy like every time you get your hands on, because what I read was just so awesome. Or if you don't have the budget and you just want to read what you're reading, we're good to go. So that's how I handle it. And also I like that stuff happens in the tie-ins. So that magic of doling out the cool beats to other books or allowing other creators to add stuff to the story that really makes their book special. That's what happened to me during Civil War. I got to do it, you know, during Secret Invasion. And you know, it's a alchemy, you know. It's not a perfect science, but it is thoughtful. It is, you know, there's nothing worse than making someone feel bad or bullied into buying something. Our job is the opposite. Our job is to make you go, I must have it, you know. And that can only be done with story and character. So that's the feeling. And yeah, and I will tell you, every time it's always start with let's just do a few tie-ins.
And then, oh, well, we have to time that. We have to, oh, we have to do that. We have to do that. And then, you know, we get excited. So, hi.
Hi, I have two questions.
Sure.
First of all, where's Adam Warlock?
Where is Adam Warlock? To stay tuned. That's no, actually it's coming, but it's not in my book, and I don't want to spoil anything. I don't even want to say which book. This is the down. I've read like 3 months ahead. I don't know what you read. So I've made this mistake before, where I get up on stage and go, oh, she died last year. Oh, you know. So yeah, and I actually did. I was once in Spain, and it was around Secret Invasion time, and I did not realize they were a year behind us in reading, and Secret Invasion had already come out, and I spoiled the ending, thinking they'd already seen it, and then I heard the people who speak English in the audience go, dude, and then I had to wait while my Italian translator, and then I had to wait like 30 seconds, and which I knew was another, like another wave of them was coming, so. It's maybe pathologically afraid of spoiling things, but Adam Warlock is coming. Done deal.
And my second question is, talking about Secret Invasion, is mm-hmm. it true that you told you, the artist from Secret Invasion, to not put Howard the Duck in the comics?
No. I never said don't put Howard the Duck in the comics. I've never written the word Howard the Duck, and he keeps showing up in the comics. That was the difference in, I'm like, it happened a few times. It wasn't just a Secret Invasion. Anytime I say the Avengers assemble, and it's not like the classic Avengers, it's like Luke Cage. I mean, there was one where Luke Cage called a bunch of friends in, and I list the friends, and then Howard the Duck was in the panel. And I'm like, that is the third time that's happened. I've never written those words. It's a weird feeling. It's weird. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Lemuel's a great guy. Okay, we got five, so I'm going to try to answer quickly as quick as I can. All right.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
I love your dialogue. I think you do some of the best banter in the business. I just had a question. I just had a question about one of the features of your writing, which I haven't seen another writer do, and that's your use of the double exclamation mark. I love it. My question is, have you ever gotten any pushback from Marvel editors about that?
About the double exclamation mark?
Yes.
They're so busy with my misspelling of my name that I so much slips through. I bold the words that are bolded. I put the, you know, I beyond my inability to spell, I do take the music of it very seriously. The real estate on the page that the words are taking means something. So they know I take it very seriously and do like 19 drafts of like everything you see. So yeah, it's on me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry about the song.
Hi. My question is about the Allison Duty comic. Can we have Valero Shitty draw that one?
Done deal. In our make-believe Indiana Jones line of comics, that is, I just greenlit it. Greenlit it. Done.
Hi.
And also, we're going to find out that Jessica Jones is Indiana Jones' granddaughter, but that's. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, first of all, that totally should happen.
I know, sir.
So, my question is, so two of my favorite series right now are Spider-Man, Neil with Miles, and Guardians. Is there any chance of a team up between the two? Because I would love to see Miles and Star-Lord hanging out.
Yes. All I'm going to say yes. Number one, they both are featured very strongly in. Civil War, there will be interaction, there is interaction. I also have a script that I have written that Kevin McGuire is drawing that is a Miles Guardians team up that will be coming when he's finished with it. We may have all, you know, be in the old home, but it will come out and it's awesome. I don't have pages for it right now, but it was initially for Guardian team up, but now we'll be in Guardians when it's ready. Yeah. Yeah. So Kevin McGuire too, right? Pretty good. Hi.
With it almost being a decade since the first Civil War, will we see anything different in the new one?
Well, I know it's been a long 10 years for you. But yes, that's the reason, that's one of the big, while we were deciding to do it, and a lot of conversations happened before we decide to do something. And when we were talking about what the idea of Civil War II is and who would be involved, it became immediately clear, and obviously from the thing I just showed you, here, I'll put this back up, hold on a second, that what's the most fascinating and so unique to the world of what we know in sequels or franchises or whatever, is that the Marvel Universe is almost completely altered from what it was 10 years ago. Captain America is a different person. Thor is a different person. There's a different Spider-Man out there. Tony Stark is a completely changed person over the events and things that happened, including the Civil War. So everyone, all the players are different. So the lines that are drawn and how they're drawn and why they're drawn are different for the first time, and that got really exciting. It also got exciting that these characters haven't had a monumental event change them. And that got really exciting. I know for some of you who love these characters, it's also very scary, but that's the cool thing, right? So yes is the answer. A lot is gonna be different. In fact, there's nothing that is the same. There's no beat that is just like something you saw in Civil War One. Like everyone thought, oh, so you're gonna pull Miles' mask off instead of Peter's? But that's, no, nothing like, it's all different stuff.
Thank you.
Good question, and thank you for coming down, man.
Okay, this is the last question.
Okay. Did we someone dressed as Jewel get pushed away? No, she's the last question. Come back up, Jewel. I just sometimes, yeah. I wasn't sure if I was imagining that or not. Sometimes I flashes. Anyway, yes, hello?
Hi, Brian. I really enjoyed the comic you wrote with Michael Gatos when you basically reunited the team of Jessica Jones to kind of tie into the new series. Any chance, Brian, you're going to be working with Michael some more?
Okay, you actually sound like a planted question because I have such a good answer for this. We've never met before, right?
Mm-mm.
All right, here's the answer. That's what I was waiting for, and I know it hit online last week that everyone's waiting for me to write Jessica. I was waiting for Michael. Michael actually has some cool jobs and stuff that he's been doing in and outside of comics. I don't want to do a proper Jessica Jones series without him. I know I've done Jessica Jones without him in other places, but it seemed that if Jessica Jones came back to her own series, that it should be with him. I can tell you wholeheartedly, and I'm probably going to get, for the slap I'm getting for the Indiana Jones joke, here comes another one. We are doing Jessica Jones right after Civil War II, me and Michael Gatos. Reunited on the series. It is going to be a proper Jessica Jones storyline that is as dark as what we did when we first saw her. Something's going to happen. So there we go. And pretend you didn't hear that from when they announced it in 3 months, you can go, oh, hey, that's great news. All right. Now I feel right behind you is Jessica Jones, and she may have had the same question, and now she's scrambling to come up with a new one.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Hello, awesome Jewel costume cosplay.
Thank you. It's okay. I had a backup. So.
Okay, good. Was that your question?
Yes, it was.
That's hilarious.
But I was wondering, you know, like where Jessica is in the TV show in her life is a different point, really, than she is in the comics right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't have a kid. So, like, how do
spoilers.
You...
Spoilers.
It came out, like, 8 years ago.
I know. I just like that.
But
there's people, man, they just found a retro girl died that was 16 years ago. But anyway.
But do you plan to marry them at all? Like, you know what I mean? Like how sometimes they want to bring the TV show and the movie version closer to the comics. Like, how would you plan on bringing them together?
I will tell you this, that the inspiration to get back to Jessica came from a conversation I had with Jeff Loeb about what's happening with Jessica. And I started filling my head about what should be happening with Jessica in the comics, you know, and it made me want to get right back into it. I think that the TV show and the comic should do everything they can, like, and I think just about every property like that, everything they can to make the best comic book possible and the best TV show possible and keep them separate experiences. I think that's the best you can do, is to celebrate the mediums that they're in. So Jessica is very entrenched in the Marvel Universe right now. Something may happen that defies that, and then we'll deal with that. But to start mushing them too much, I think they should be separate. I think that's the best way to go. It just in my opinion.
Okay.
until we come up with some awesome way to do the opposite. But right now, that's it. I celebrate your celebration. This is awesome. I love, by the way, this is like my favorite costume, and it's a throwaway. It's such a good costume. Anyway.
Thank you.
All right, now you're kicking us out? Are we kicked out? All right, just before I honestly, I said this yesterday, but I want to say it again. When you guys come to a show like this and you meet your comic book people, you know, we spend a lot of time alone in our room. That's what we trained our body to do. To stand up here and talk to you for an hour is like the opposite of my comfort zone on every level. So I just want to say how much I appreciate you guys coming and saying hi and these awesome questions and how supportive you are of me and my friends. I'm going to run right downstairs to the autograph section of the Arts Alley and sign everything that you bring. But I'm going to stay and let you